You're listening to The 21st. I'm Mary Hansen. Illinois could soon join California, New York, and New Jersey in banning discrimination based on hair. State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth, a Democrat from Peoria, is sponsoring legislation that would amend the Illinois Human Rights Act. It would expound on the word race and traits associated with race, so that a person with a certain hair texture or hairstyle, such as locks, braids, and twists, could not be discriminated against. Representative Gordon Booth says this bill would help Black and Latino citizens who are disproportionately impacted by hairstyle discrimination in the workplace. WILL News Director Reginald Hardwick sat down with four women who shared their experiences related to hair harassment and, in some cases, hair discrimination.
We're going to talk with four women who can speak directly with experiences related to hair harassment and, in some cases, hair discrimination. Joining me in studio is Robin Hendry, Vice President of Vince Colors Group, a Black-owned ad agency. Brittany Wright, a Chicago-based digital media specialist. And University of Illinois journalism professor, Dr. Janice Collins. Welcome to The 21st.
Thank you for having us.
This is great.
We'll also have one more guest on the phone coming up. But first, I'm going to do something a little bit different because this is radio and people can't see you. So I'm going to ask all of our studio guests to describe their hairstyle. Robin, I'll start with you.
Oh, my hair is gray. That's the first thing that people notice. But I wear my hair in a wash and go, which means that it's not really that easy, but it's a texturized look. It's curly for some, kinky for others. And it's about shoulder length, and I get a lot of attention, mostly because of the gray.
Brittany?
I was going to say a kinky, curly, wonderfully made afro. I want to say wash and go, but it takes prayer. Yeah.
And Janice?
And I have locks, and that I twist myself, and they're fairly long past my backside, actually. So I've been growing them for since 2003, I believe, in remembrance of my rebirth from my mother's passing and in honor of her and my strength again.
Robin, why do you think a bill banning discrimination based on hair texture or hairstyle is necessary?
Discrimination in any form or fashion is wrong. However, this type of discrimination has a profound effect on Black females. It's wrong, and we have to say something. It's happened for years, it's happened for decades, and at this point, we have to work together to make sure that the Crown Act, which is creating an open world for natural hair, is passed. It is ridiculous that we have to get legislation to avoid this type of discrimination, and we are working together in different communities, and I'm hoping that we'll have more than just three states to pass this legislation. I know that there are efforts at the federal level. It needs to happen so it protects all of these women and men and young boys and girls who are growing up in a world where they feel that they have freedom. But at this point, we don't.
Brittany, you did not always wear your hair natural, like we talked earlier. In fact, you felt some pressure to wear it differently when you entered the corporate world. What are some of the things people have said to you when you've had two different hairstyles?
When I started out, I was perming my hair. I grew up having a perm in my hair. It was always, that's what was acceptable for me. That's what I was told was acceptable. When I would straighten my hair, I would typically straighten it annually to cut my hair, to trim it, which is common for the natural hair community. And I found that, you know, when I would straighten it again, people would say, oh, you look professional today. Or it looks tame, it looks neat today. And it's one of those things that's meant to be a compliment, but in another layer of saying that you're exotic, you're different, that this doesn't belong here. So that definitely has an effect on someone.
Recent news accounts have documented rejection of natural hair texture in very public ways. Take the case of DeAndre Arnold, a student in Texas who was told in January to cut his locks or not be allowed to participate in his high school graduation. Or Andrew Johnson, a high school wrestler in New Jersey who was told in December of 2018 to cut off his locks or forfeit a match. Here's an excerpt from ABC News.
disgust tonight over this video now circulating the internet of this moment of humiliation. New Jersey high school wrestler Andrew Johnson having his dreadlocks cut by a trainer before a match. He was forced to have his hair cut by a referee in order to compete or forfeit the match. It's standard for wrestlers with long hair to have the option to cover their heads, but the referee, Alan Maloney, would not allow it.
Janice Collins, you have locks. You are a journalism professor here at U of I. You wear them to class and everywhere you go. First, what is your reaction to hearing that account of teenagers facing retribution for their hair?
It was painful. It was painful to watch. It reminded me of the moment that I saw a young child at 6 being handcuffed. It is traumatic. I had a lot of questions, even from the standpoint of media, that why would they have to do it in front of everyone, first of all? Why would you have to cut his locks in front of everyone? It's a form of shaming. And I think what is shameful is when the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals made it legal to discriminate because of dreadlocks or because of locks that are connected to the majority of people of color. Let me say that. Because please help me and correct me if I'm wrong. Is there any other aggregate that has to face legal sanctions for their hair in the United States? Is there another hairstyle that has received legal sanctions for a particular type of hairstyle other than locks? I've been looking, I've been searching. If not, it should be illegal. Point. I agree with Robin, and I agree with what Brittany has said. This is America, and we have to allow people an environment, develop and create an environment where we can pursue life, liberty, and happiness without hurting someone. Either way, you're going to be discriminated against, whether you're a woman, whether you're a person of color, whether you're short, whether you're tall. But for the legal system to sanction and give a stamp of approval that it is okay to discriminate against someone as far as even their way of living, employment, based on a hairstyle, I think is deplorable. And I think that's why we need the Crown Act to address that and challenge that and transcend and transform that. It is going in the wrong direction. And I think for the most part, a lot of Americans will agree.
We're talking with Robin Henry, Vice President of Vince Colors Group, a Black-owned ad agency, Brittany Wright, a Chicago-based digital media specialist, and University of Illinois journalism professor Dr. Janice Collins. We're talking about an anti-hair discrimination bill that's being introduced in the Illinois State House this session. We have a lot more coming up. You're listening to The 21st.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
Welcome back. You're listening to The 21st. I'm Reginald Hardwick, and we are talking about an anti-hair discrimination bill that's been introduced in the Illinois State House this session. And we were talking with Robin Henry, Vice President of Vince Colors Group, a Black-owned ad agency, Brittany Wright, a Chicago-based digital media specialist, and University of Illinois journalism professor Janice Collins. Robin Henry, you are an ad exec, and what do you say to a person who argues, well, what's wrong with schools or businesses deciding the look they think is appropriate, and that should include hair?
People are more important than dress codes, people's feelings. People are parents. People are responsible citizens. People have talent that businesses need and pay plenty of money for such talent that has no bearing on what hairstyle they bring to work on their heads. That's a personal choice. There are many personal choices we make that allow us to get to work every day that have there's no right for anyone to make a decision for another person who's a professional, who has proven that they can do the job. So there's no reason that their hairstyle should come up for any type of consideration other than the person who's wearing the hairstyle. That's it.
This discussion about hair harassment is not new. Renelda Muse is the first woman and first African-American to anchor a TV newscast in Denver. In 1968, a few months after being on the air, she changed her hairstyle from shoulder-length straight hair to an afro and experienced quite a reaction from the audience. She recently testified at a House committee in Colorado to pass an anti-hair discrimination bill there. And Renelda joins us on the line from Denver. Hello, Renelda.
Hi, Reginald. How are you?
I'm great, and I do have a little bit of a personal note here. I grew up in Colorado. Renelda is a lifelong mentor of mine, but I felt her historic perspective on this topic was very pertinent to this conversation. I want to ask you first, why did you change your hair at that moment in 1968?
I think I wanted to be seen. Seen as the person I was, which was a young African-American woman. And adopting an Afrocentric hairstyle was the clearest way to make that statement. And certainly the decision grew out of the context of the times. I literally grew up and came of age during the Civil Rights Movement. I graduated college, Ohio State University, in 1968. That's the same year that black students there made demands and took over the administration building. It was the same year that MLK was murdered. It was the same year that Tommy Smith and John Carlos staged their heroic protest at the Mexico City Olympics. The same year that James Brown released his hit song, I'm Black and I'm Proud. So to cut my hair into an afro then, at that time, was just a logical extension of that consciousness or awareness.
What was the reaction from station management and the audience?
Well, from the audience, I'd have to say bewilderment, shock, confusion, some anger. Because I was the first to do this in Denver, a city with a relatively small ethnic minority population, it was quite a shock. It was radical. And especially since Angela Davis was a major figure in the news at that time, and my hairstyle mirrored hers almost exactly. So I think the question was, did some in the audience conflate my hairstyle with her political views? I don't know. People weren't sure what to think. Many viewers urged me to wear my hair like Barbara Walters, who was the most prominent white woman reporter at the time. Still others suggested that I adopt a more traditional and non-threatening hairstyle like Coretta Scott King. And still others raged. They wrote letters, you know, that began, "Dear Jungle Bunny." Mm-hmm. Now, management, on the other hand, they were equally as confused and uncertain about how to handle the situation. If they sanctioned or fired me, they ran the risk of angering the minority community, and they also put in jeopardy the corporate investment they had made in diversity. So what they did was sort of come at it sideways in a sometimes comical, inept way. They told me things like the cameras couldn't frame my afro. The news director called me into his office and offered his wife's services to style my hair, as if it were an issue of my not knowing what to do with my hair, and as if a white woman could offer direction to a black woman on her own hair. It was ludicrous, it was laughable, it was insulting.
Well, Renelda, thank you for taking time to join us on the line from Denver.
My pleasure.
According to Essence magazine, in 2018, the black hair care industry raked in an estimated $2.5 billion, that's with a B, dollars. Much of that money is spent by black women on chemical relaxers to change the texture from curly to straight, or buying weaves or wigs, which can give the appearance of straight hair. Robin, your ad agency has represented black hair products for years. This can be an expensive process.
Yes, taking care of hair, period, can be expensive. There are many products that are deemed inexpensive, but at this point, I feel you get what you pay for. The results, for me, have been very consistent with what I just said. I've tried the less expensive products, and they really do not work. One of the biggest problems is the chemical makeup is cheap to make, so they can make a profit at a smaller price. So if you think about it, in most cases, and I'm not guaranteeing if you pay more, you're going to get a better response from your hair. But for me, when I invest in my hair, just like if I invest in better food at the grocery store, I get a better response. And it's healthier. It's more consistent. It's something I can predict. The business aspect of black hair is something that has changed. Relaxers were a huge segment of the market years ago. But because so many of us have decided to transition from relaxers or no longer purchase relaxers or do big chops and just eliminate relaxers right away, the impact has changed. So the curly hair, the natural hair, the locks, braids, and any type of hair care products that are purchased for natural hair are taking over. So we have made our message quite clear.
And then there's the psychological toll. And Brittany, right, let me ask you the psychological toll of changing your hair to conform to society and maybe straightening it. Did that ever enter your mind? And how young were you when that happened?
So it never occurred to me. And as you said, it really is a journey back to yourself. For me, it was stepping away from what my family knew, stepping away from how my mother taught me to do my hair. I remember the moment that I went to a store and I was trying to put another perm in my hair and I was looking for a particular brand. They didn't have it. And I remember coming across a box that there's different scales to approach the thickness of your hair. So there's a kitty perm, there's the regular, and then there's like the thick or coily or kinky or coarse. And so this particular brand had something called resistant. And I was like, what does that mean? Is it resistant to a comb? What does that mean? And so that just really, it felt like I had gotten stabbed in the chest. And from that moment on, I just could not bring myself to put another perm in my hair. And I had to figure it out on my own. I mean, I didn't have anybody in my family, any of my friends, nobody at that time was naturally haired, like curly haired, or, you know, everyone straightened their hair. You know, we have like all these war stories about going to the shop, getting our hair pressed or getting our hair pressed, you know, by our grandmothers and things like that. And so for me, it was really like returning to or trying to discover who I was, you know, like without like this straight hair. Without this idea of what my mom and my grandmother and her mother before her taught them, you know, the standard of beauty. And so for me, that's really when it also helped me in other areas of my life. You know, in figuring out who I was authentically with the hair on my head, you know, I was able to discover like, oh, you can shine through in this other way, you know. So it really is something that I think everyone has to go through, and it's so personal. You know, perhaps you don't wear it curly, or maybe you don't have like the kinky coily hair, but maybe you have a looser pattern, and that's okay. You know, you wear your hair in a bun, that's still natural. You know, it's just not conforming to what someone else's idea of what your hair is supposed to be. And so in that moment, in that store where I saw resistant, was kind of a life-changing experience for me.
Robin, you speak to groups of young African-American adults about hair. What do you tell them, especially those going into the corporate world?
It's important to be who you are, to be authentic. If you go to an interview with your hair in its natural state and you're rejected, not based on your abilities, not based on your experience or your resources or the gifts that you can bring to that company, but because of your hair, run and feel blessed that they were honest enough to reject you. Mm-hmm. It's terrible to think that you have to be anything other than who you are, who you were born with, what gifts you were given. I have gray hair and I'm very proud of it. I call it God's highlights. And many people aren't comfortable with that, but that's their problem. If someone didn't want to offer me a job because of my gray, kinky, curly hair, I don't want to work there. That's it. And I tell my students, I'm your role model. I've made every mistake. I've ventured out there. Trust me, I know what's going to happen. And you're better off working for somebody who respects you as you are.
For some people who may not be familiar with black hair texture or hairstyles, they may be tempted to reach out and touch a stranger's hair. I've heard black women talk about this a lot. Why do so many people, black women, others, black men even, who have larger hair, consider that a form of harassment? And Brittany, I'll start with you.
Because I started fanning myself. It's an invasion of personal space. And to treat someone as a pet or something that's on exhibition because you're not used to it, that doesn't mean you need to invade my space. You can ask me questions about my hair. I'm very comfortable answering questions. You know, some people don't know. They don't understand that our hair holds water differently than, you know, a looser curl pattern. But yeah, it's so inappropriate. It's so inappropriate to touch someone without, especially without their permission. I admire people who want to start that conversation and will allow that into the conversation. I'm not one of those people, but I've definitely had encounters where someone has reached out. I've actually had more encounters where someone wanted to touch my hair when I straightened it. So people that I worked with would see my hair and it's when it's straightened or pressed and then want to touch my hair because they are shocked that, you know, my hair could, you know, look like that or it can be that long or that it's authentically my hair, you know, with heat on it. So it's regardless, whatever state it's in, it's not a permission to invade anyone's space.
Janice, I mean, you are in the classroom with maybe some students who've not lived among African Americans. You know, this may be their first extension in contact or maybe seeing locks. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that kind of experience with some of your students? Or
not really with my students. For a while, I've been teaching for 18 years, and I've had to tell some students that just because I have locks doesn't mean I partake in certain recreational activities because I have locks. And it doesn't mean that I listen only to reggae music. But it wasn't malicious. We have a great time with it. And I have also had individuals. I was just in Shenzhen, China. And I usually have my hair wrapped because for my locks at this time, they're like my skin. They're like the energy. And so you don't want individuals to put their energy into your hair. That's number one. And it is about personal space. However, I do believe, I feel like Brittany, that it's a time that you can educate. And I don't get offended immediately. I said, okay, just let me tell you, don't want to touch the hair. And some people go a little bit overboard. I think we can handle that. But I do believe that education is really important to combat ignorance about certain things and certain people and certain cultures and certain traditions. But I have to say that I really don't have nightmare stories to tell, I think, because I think the way you present yourself also helps if you're very outspoken about who you are. I think that helps a lot. And I just want to say before we go that to all the sisters that are wearing wigs and weaves and all that, just like I want to have the freedom to do what I want to do with my hair, I totally support you, men and women, about what you want to do with your hair as well. As long as you don't hurt yourself, try not to do that. So I've been very blessed.
Well, thank you, all of you, for joining us. And that's all the time we have. I want to thank Robin Henry, Vice President of Vince Colors Group, Black-owned ad agency. Brittany Wright, a Chicago-based digital media specialist and University of Illinois journalism professor. Dr. Janice Collins, thank you for joining us in the studio.
Thank you, Reginald.
This was great, so Reginald.
Yeah. And thanks to Renelda Muse, my mentor and a retired TV anchor in Denver, for joining us on the phone. And all of them joined us to talk about an anti-hair discrimination bill that's been introduced in the Illinois State House this session. I'm Reginald Hardwick, and we leave you now with a song from India Irie that addresses this issue.
Is that India? What happened to her hair? Madison curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13, and I got a relaxer. I was the source of so much laughter. At 15, when it all broke off. 18, and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone. I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am not your expectations. No, no. I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am the soul that lives within.
What'd she do to her hair?
I don't know. It looked crazy. I like it. I might do that. I wouldn't go that far.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath.